In this hour, you know that on a Saturday, what is today? Today is Wednesday. I have Stanley Beckett who comes through to talk about issues of transcendence, of how do we transcend our current circumstances in order for us to achieve those things with we desire. We've been talking about the science of getting rich. We've been talking about and referencing, of course, the book by Wattle D. Wallace. Yeah? Wallace D. Wattles. How are you doing, Stan? Good evening to you, by the way.
Evening, Aubrey. Yeah. A few of our listeners has asked me just to correct you every time you say that, and it is Wallace D. Wattles.
Wallace D. Wattles.
That's it, yeah.
See, it's all these clutters, man, yeah? Wallace D. Wattles, yeah? And it's the science of getting rich. And what we've been doing over the last few weeks, maybe the last few months, is really talking about some of the things he says in that book. And part of what I'm intrigued about is that if you follow some of those principles, you, with mathematical certainty, will achieve the goals that you desire. And we've been talking a lot about money, but really the conversation is about achieving whatever goal that you desire. Wealth isn't just money. And I remember Stanley saying something about that, and I thought it was great. Remember, Stanley?
Yeah.
You said to me that wealth is?
Wealth is what you're left with when you have lost all your money. Wealth consciousness. That's what we're talking about, because if you have that as a strong foundation, then you can overcome any obstacle. So that's what we're really talking about on the show, is that wealth isn't necessarily money. Money is just one aspect of wealth.
So I've been thinking a lot about that. I really have. I've been thinking a lot about that and thinking to myself, am I wealthy or am I just poor? because I don't have a lot of money. And I realized that it's actually about a conversation of developing the inner me such that I am able to attract whatever it is that I am looking for. And I remember you and I had that conversation about how to have the ability to attract that which you want. And I remember last week we had Marie on the line, and she was talking about that flow conversation. But let's contextualize tonight's conversation.
Maybe I'll start off by just saying one thing. I've had one or two people just asking, when are we going to continue with the actual Science of Getting Rich book and the lessons in that? And I've explained, and hopefully everyone will understand, that what we're doing in inviting people like Marie in from Genius U is we really want to start an association for our listeners to understand the concepts that come from there, because it's as important as understanding the Science of Getting Rich methodology. So we were just extremely fortunate to have Marie this week as well. You'll remember we call her Mari, and that will always be her South African name, whether she likes it or not. And yeah, you'll see that, Aubrey, I even bought her a packet of Mari biscuits to all right. So the contextualizer.
No, okay.
Okay, so to contextualize tonight, you remember what we left off with last week, and there's actually two things. There's actually two things that I think we should really look at discussing tonight. Is firstly, continuing with that question that you asked last week, when you said, yes, it's all great and well to be in your flow, and for entrepreneurs to be working together to achieve these higher goals. But how does that help us to make money, which is really the thing that people need most right now, is to make their businesses work and make money. So I'm hoping that Marie will expand on that a little bit, because she is a flow consultant, and she'll explain what that is as well and how she helps people with that. And she's actually got an interesting offer to make with you as well, Aubrey, to do a session with you on air one night, just to show you how it works. And then the second thing is I found out that Marie is busy on a world tour with her book, and also about the subject. So I was hoping that she
Marie
could
mentioned
share.
That last week she is doing a world tour. We're going to talk to Marie in a few moments' time. Marie Ruzica.
Yes.
Yeah?
Ruzica.
I'm so sorry, Marie. Now, in this country, you got to really make a real effort to try and pronounce people's surnames, because there's all sorts of issues that are connected to that. So we really want to get it right. And then we will dub you Marie.
I love that.
Marie! All right, Stan. So you want to hand Murray over to me, and or do you want to perhaps talk about something before?
No, I think we've seen that we have Murray. Let's listen to what she has to say and take it from there. So I'm very glad to be hearing from her. Yeah,
Murray, thank you very much for coming through. I really appreciate it. Stan and I have been having these conversations for close on 3 years almost now. Yeah, 3 years, 4 years. It's a long time. Starting to make me feel like I'm old. Yes. Anyway, we've been having these conversations about how to change your thinking in order to change your circumstances, because we believe very, very strongly that your thinking really literally brings about your circumstances. We've had conversations where we've talked about what are the things that make you do things as opposed to those things that make you have an aversion to do certain things. We've talked about wealth. We've talked about riches, the difference between being wealthy and being rich. We've had all of those conversations. And a few weeks ago, Stanley says to me, Aubrey, do you know that there is a possibility of literally attracting wealth to yourself rather than constantly going to chase it? And we've been on that conversation. And then later on, he says, listen, there's this young lady that has come through from the United States. Her name is Marie
Ruzicka.
And she's talking about flow. And then you and I started to talk last week.
Yes.
And I asked the question after you said to me that there is a change in the world of how people get into wealth. There is a far more social conscious way of doing things, a far less hard, business-like suit-wearing, hard-nosed approach. Something is busy happening in the world, and we stopped there in our conversation last week. And I remember finishing the conversation with you to say, listen, all of that is nice, we love it, but how do we make money? So maybe you can contextualize and perhaps tell us the organization you come from, what it's all about, and then let's talk about how we make a bit of money.
Well,
and by the way, welcome.
Thank you, and I feel so welcome. What a beautiful studio you have.
Thank you very
much. It's really better than on a little phone like last week.
Yeah.
So I am a part of Genius U, and that is truly an organization that really looks at, we're talking about the world of entrepreneurs here, and what it is to be, they say, I believe I said the stats last week was, there were 100 million entrepreneurs in the world at the turn of 2000. Now there's 400,000. And they say by the end of this year, there will be 1 billion entrepreneurs out there.
Wow.
So where is a place for all of these wonderful people to collaborate? And Roger James Hamilton came up with this wonderful process, this wonderful profiling system by working with the I Ching, which is a 5,000-year-old book of changes, and really found this wonderful way of how people make money. Like Oprah makes her money very differently than Warren Buffett makes his money very differently than Mark Zuckerberg, than Beyonce. You know, everybody makes their money differently, and we all think that we make our money the same way. But when you find out where it is, where where your superpower is, and to stay in that flow, that's where the magic is. And that's really what Roger's work is through wealth dynamics. Now, the platform is called Genius U, but the process is called wealth dynamics. And it's really a very cool process. I certainly, it changed my life. I went from a 20-year career in corporate America, which I thought I was going to retire from, to when I found out I was a certain profile, I knew that the corporate world was not looking for someone with ideas. And so I thought, you know, if that's the path of least resistance to my wealth, then I've got to take a look at how can I change that? So it was a cool process. You know, 6 months after I found out my profile, I was out of my job. I sold my house and started traveling the world. And I knew that, you know, selling your house, that's finite. with those,
have
with
a
those
place
dollars.
To stay.
Hello.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I knew. So that's why I became a flow consultant, because I thought I had just read this.
A flow.
Flow consultant.
That sounds so like esoteric, eh? A flow consultant.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's really keeping people in their flow.
All right. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. With me is Marie Ruzica, and she is a flow consultant. And what I'm understanding from Marie is that there is a flow to the way that you develop your wealth. That Oprah Winfrey has a different flow, and Warren Buffett has a different flow, and Beyonce has a different flow. And the issue here is, how do we make you get your flow? How do I find my flow, man? I'm looking for that flow. And of course, how do we differentiate between the work done by Oprah versus the work done by Warren Buffett, but also differentiate those technical things that they do from the flow? Because it sounds to me and feels to me like it's something completely different. So please give us a call on 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567 as we discuss this with Marie Ruzica of The Genius You. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this flow versus the technical work that we do. I'm a talk show host. I'm a columnist. I make a lot of noises sometimes. That's what I do. That's the stuff that I do. Technical stuff that I do. What is the difference between that and my flow?
Well, are you happy with what you do?
I love what I do.
Okay.
I'll do it for free. Yeah.
So, in regards to your flow, because your flow needs to have, you know, to be fully in your flow, dollars need to flow too.
Right.
So it's finding a way. Now, I don't know what that way is, but to make sure that those meld in some fashion. Now, I would love, it'd be really fun. And that's why I was talking to Stanley about coming in and doing a debrief with you. It's like, so that intrigues me to do something that you love and not feel the wealth because of that. Now, you feel the wealth in what you do.
Yes. I feel the feeling of being rewarded by what I do. I feel the love of connecting with people. I feel the fact that I'm a part of a team of people that are catalysts to a national conversation. I love all of that. And it's all great. I would literally do it for free. In fact, in some instances, I've done it for free. But I'd like to see some dollars, as you say it. I'd like to see some money, yeah?
You know,
and not to say that I don't get a salary. I mean, that's great. But I'm looking to say, how do I make what I am and what I love give me wealth, not just a salary? Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so it very much intrigues me as to what your profile is.
Yeah.
Because I know that I could help you way more specifically because of that. But, you know, it is really... Is this the only job that you have?
Yeah. Well, I write.
Yes.
I do a little bit of commentary on television now and again. But is this the job? Yes, this is the job that I have.
Yeah.
And I'm an entrepreneur. I've got other business interests that I'm involved in.
And it's finding those other interests. It's really, you know, I think what happens with most entrepreneurs is that we're all multi-passionate. We love many, many different things. And it really is to find, like, where in that could you, you know, have some type of a, for example, a certification that people, because to me, I really appreciate how you listen to me. I really appreciate that you can remember a conversation that we had last week. That, I mean, I know that that is your job to do that, but there's a lot of journalists out there in the world that they write something and they move on. So, you know, it is, to me, it's really seeing where you're multi-passionate at and seeing if there's other ways to partner up with an organization to, you know, have another organization sponsor you to. I mean, there's plenty of wonderful different ways to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just finding that way. And because I don't know enough about you to be able to share.
I suppose, Marie, what I'm looking for is a functional definition of what is flow. What does that mean when we speak of flow, as opposed to this is my job? Because I'm sensing that flow goes beyond just the job that you're doing. It has to do with different energies and I say this because of the analogy you gave me last week about the fact that, you know, you're a surfer and you've got the surf, you've learned how to surf, but you need to be able to identify the flow, the current that then moves the surfer. So I'm saying to you that I understand that I have the surf, which is my platform, right? My studio and the ability to speak to people through this platform called 702. That's my surf. I have the skill. I've learned how to communicate with people and develop rapport to have conversations. But what is the flow?
Okay. So because you're just talking about energy here, there's something to know. Your profile is great, but to really know where Roger calls the wealth spectrum, it's really how he pictures it is as a lighthouse. And there's 9 levels to this lighthouse, and it really is a consciousness level. So there's the first consciousness level is infrared, and that is the victim level. A victim sees, that means you're not even in the lighthouse, you're below the lighthouse. So you see the world, and it's not you, it's the way you see the world. It's like goggles that you wear. And that's usually shaming, blaming, and complaining. So that's called the victim level, or infrared. The next level, you're in the lighthouse. It's the red level, but it's the survival level. And it's like a house of cards. Like your money and your month are barely meeting. But I tell you, if you needed a change of change of tires, or you needed some extra money, it's like a house of cards.
Yeah.
Then the next level is orange. And that's the hard worker. Like I was there for 30 years of my life.
Yeah.
So those first 3 levels of the 9 levels of the lighthouse is where 80 to 90% of the world is. Now we're talking about energetically, we're talking about a consciousness level that you can't, if you're infrared and you're seeing the world just through blaming, shaming, and complaining, you can't see where dollars can be.
Yeah.
And so it's the same with the red level. It's really the same with orange level. You can be safe, but you don't ever feel like you're making a difference.
Yeah.
That's really that foundation prism. It is when you get to the next level. Now you think these are the colors of the rainbow. This is the colors of the chakras, same colors. So that when you get to the yellow level, that is where you feel like, you know, before in the foundation level, you're in a sea of poppies. In the yellow level, you're like the tall poppy syndrome, like they say in Australia.
Yeah.
But to me, the tall poppy syndrome is like, hey guys, there's sky and brilliance and beauty out here. And I feel now that I can make a difference because now the wealth is flowing.
Yeah.
That what you do and the dollars flowing is the same. And it feels really good.
I want to bring Stanley into this conversation. You remember, Stanley, we had a conversation about, I'm told I need to take a break, but we had a conversation about survival mode in the way that we find ourselves, in the way that we interact with the economy, that we get into a situation where we are just surviving. And I want you to think about that, because I want to bring Marie into that conversation where, how do I leave survival mode? How do I leave the situation where I'm dictated to by my salary? And so it is difficult for me to see beyond and above my salary and my job. How do I tap into the existence of blue sky if I don't even know that it's there? If I'm constantly looking down, trying to survive, what needs to happen for me to look up to be able to see the blue sky and all of the opportunities that are available at that? I want you to think about that as we speak to Marie Ruzica of Genius U, and we're talking about flow. I'm really looking forward to your comments on 011-883-0702. If you're in Cape Town, good evening to you, Cape Town, 021-446-0567.
Aubrey Masango on 702.
For the curious, streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
How do I find that flow? Yeah, Marie Ruzica is my guest. She is from Genius U. She is a flow consultant. Wow, never heard of that before. And of course, my friend Stanley Beckett has brought to us to talk about some of those things. And Stanley, I wanted to bring you in and talk about the issue of, I suppose, those three primary levels that Marie was talking about with her analogy, with her lighthouse analogy. And I suppose most of us find ourselves in those three areas, the infrared, the red, and the yellow, where we are either completely oblivious of any opportunities that are out there, or we find ourselves in a meager opportunity, a job, but we are not even aware that there are realities where people have absolute blue sky, where there is just flow of wealth in their lives. How do we identify? I think that's probably important, where you are in that analogy. How do we identify that?
Well, that's a good question, Aubrey, and identifying it, let me tell you something, that opens up a lot of things for you. People are asking the right questions, but they're not getting the answers. And what I found through Genius U and through Roger James Hamilton's work is that the answers lie in there. So the first thing I'm going to tell people is to be on the lookout for his book, which is called The Millionaire Master Plan. And in that, he describes the different levels in details and how to get into your flow. Now, what we need to understand about the flow and how to get into your flow, first of all, Aubrey, is that the reason, look, there's always opportunities. I think there's, I don't know how many trillions of dollars per day changes hands around the world.
Yeah.
If you are not getting that money, it's because you are not in the flow of that money. But now we need to understand that you will not get, if you are in the infrared level, right, you mustn't expect to jump straight into the flow. You've got to work your way first out of the infrared level and then to the red level, then to the orange and so forth. It's when you get to the higher levels that you really start connecting to that flow. Now, if you're expecting to immediately change it, then you're in an unrealistic situation. And that's the challenge I've had with many great books and programs out there that teach people about getting into your flow and getting into wealth, is that they talk to everybody as if everybody's on the same level. What I love about the work that Marie them do is they talk to you on the level that you are at. And they're saying, listen, Aubrey, if you are at infrared, so on their site, and what I'm going to be doing with the listeners going forward is we're going to introduce the listeners to it. It's absolutely free. That's what I love about Roger James Hamilton. All of these things are free because he has a real passion to help people to grow. So in that, you'll discover exactly where you are. And then you'll realize the things I need to do where I am is very different from the things that a person who's already got a successful business, already got a good job where they're earning a lot of money. So we need to move away from a one-size-fits-all, and we need to realize that in order to get into that flow that we're talking about now, you first need to take certain steps depending on the level that you're at. So it's not so easy as there isn't.
I would imagine that if we avoid the one-size-fits-all approach, Marie, the process of learning from where you are is in fact what equips you to be able to understand the various levels that you find yourself in. So in other words, if we took a kid who's never been through the grading process from grade R all the way to grade 10, we so much just took that kid and we put them to grade 10, they wouldn't understand where they are. So you've got to find the person where they're at and then teach and through experience and theoretical learning, understanding, oh, so this is where I'm at. But there's the question for you, and I want to read you something that's coming from somebody in Tembisa, Marie, and perhaps you might want to respond to this one. It's from Mr. X in Tembisa. It says, sure, bro, here's my situation. I've never found space in the corporate world, and I'm not looking, to be frank, I'm not wanting to go into the corporate world. But I wake up every morning with this passion of entrepreneurship. However, I don't know how to find that way, that flow. that Marie is talking about. My mind is a boiling pot full of ideas, but they're ideas after all. So my question is, how do I discover what I'm meant for and what's meant for me? And that's from Mr. X in Tembisa. How do you respond, Marie?
Well, first I want to say I hope writing is one of his passions, because it's beautifully said. So thank you so much for writing. It's really important to, you know, no one should start a business unless they want to make an impact in this world. We are at a time on Mother Earth that to not make an impact doesn't make sense to even start a business. So finding, and through that, and what Stanley was saying about all these beautiful free tests that you have, the ability, the wealth spectrum test, you can take that for free, but also two other tests that I would highly recommend Mr. X do, is the passion and purpose test. To know your passion and to know your purpose is so important in this world. Really, what are you passionate and purposeful about? And the purpose test takes into account the UN goals. There's 17 UN goals. They were decided in 2015 to be completed by 2030. And so here we are in 2020, and to have 10 years to have these goals be completed, like no poverty, quality education, justice for all, partnerships, life below water, you know, all of these to have to do, like, what is your passion and purpose? And then to find out your passion, they use Janet Atwood's and Chris Atwood's passion test. And to sit with those passions and to know that, you know, Roger says a lot. It's not about what you say yes to. It's really what you say no to. And so, because everything is available to us, everything is 24/7.
Yeah. Stanley just said that there's a limitless amount of opportunities.
Yes.
It's like a little child walking into a toy store and say, choose one.
Yeah.
Right. Drive the little kid crazy, you know?
Right.
And it appears to me that the process of getting into your flow is also a process of elimination, of getting away from those things that are opportunities, but maybe not opportunities for you. And you seem to be saying that first you've got to understand who you are. What are the things that resonate you and move you? What are the things that you would do for free? Yeah. Because that was my journey. I first had to understand, what is the thing that I cannot not do? Yeah. I need to do this. And on the basis of that, you discover who you are and what your passion is, right? And then you need to then say, what is the big goal with this passion that I have, which is what you're talking about when you talk about impact. So it appears to me that entrepreneurship of the future is not just about wanting to make money, but it is purpose-driven, impactful, goal-driven, human. I don't even know what words to use, but it almost seems to me like there has to be an alignment of the individual, their core values, who they are, and the impact that they want to create in the world. Would that be the right decision?
Aubrey, if I can add to it, that one thing that I learned from Genius U, it's completely changed towards collaboration. When we're talking about being in your flow, we're talking about finding other people who have the same passions, the same interests.
Sure.
And remember that analogy of the ball. If you, Roger says wealth is really two things. It's value multiplied by leverage. You've got to understand what your value is, that you bring in your passion and what you're doing. And you've got to position yourself in such a way that people want to start passing the ball to you, want to start passing the money to you. And that's really important to remember.
You've got to say that analogy again.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very, very important. I remember you saying it about 2-3 weeks ago, where you were saying that it's really like, it's all about putting yourself in the right position.
Yes.
Yeah.
And understanding what your value is and leveraging that value. And that you see, we come from the old, and I'm sure Mary will agree, we come from a very old thinking from 20, 30 years ago, where it was all about competition, where we now realize that it's about collaboration. That's where the money is, when you're collaborating on common goals. But before you can do that, you need to discover what that is for you. And that's what we're talking about discovering.
Well, so. The one time you spoke to us was when you made the the analogy about Lionel Messi, one of the greatest soccer players in the world, right?
Yeah.
And yes, those of you who think Ronaldo is, same for you, right? But the point that you made, and it stuck with me, that it's not chasing the ball that makes Ronaldo or Messi so great. It's really how he positions himself on the field of play so that he is able to receive the ball and pass it. And that's how goals are created. You position yourself correctly in order for you to be able to pass the ball, but also to receive the ball. And that's what you're talking about when you speak of collaboration.
Yes. And remember that Ronaldo could be, for example, fantastic at positioning himself, but he still needs to know what to do once he gets the ball.
Sure.
And I just feel, and what I've learned, and I keep sharing what I've learned since I've joined and learned from Roger James Hamilton, is that what I've learned is that the more you connect to your passion and purpose, the easier it'll be for you to become valuable, because you'll love doing it. Like you were saying, you'll do this all day long. I look at what we do with our work. We can work from 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, and it doesn't feel like work because you're doing your passion. Now, I guarantee you, the more you do that, the more valuable you will become. And the more valuable become you, the more you'll start connecting with people who are the same as you, and the more you'll start creating that leverage.
And that's that flow that Marie is talking about.
That's the flow that we're talking about.
So, yes. Marie, most of us find ourselves in a position where we just want to have money to buy the next meal, right? Where we are not talking about investments. We're not talking about all of that stuff. We just want to make it to the next meal, right? To the point where conversations like these feel very, very, very futile, in the sense that, you know, these people are speaking about stuff that I'm not even talking about. How do you speak to a person who's at that level of just trying to survive with the idea of wanting to bring them to this idea of flow?
No, because this happens all the time, this type of question.
Yeah.
And I always say, let's look at Oprah. I mean, everything about Oprah's early days certainly wasn't to be a mega millionaire.
Yeah.
Maybe billionaire. It was to be in your place. And she knew at 3 years old that was not going to be the case. This is literally, when we're talking about mindset, this is all about a mindset. You know, you were talking about soccer and about being on the playing field, or that this infrared, red, and orange level is you in the stands. It is when you get to the yellow level that it's called the player level. You are playing on the field.
Right.
So 80 to 90% of the world, no wonder it's all about, here's my opinion. I have nothing to back it with, but I just have an opinion. Instead, to think, you know, what about changing your consciousness level? What if somebody's actually playing? Like Brené Brown talks about daring greatly. Like, don't talk to me unless you're playing on the field with me. So if you're blaming and shaming and complaining, then you're staying in those lower consciousness levels that will stay there.
Yeah.
You're still in the stands, and you will stay always in the stands. And to know that 80 to 90% of the people in this world are in the stands and not playing in the field.
When we're talking about the flow, you're not even going to get into the flow because you're not even in the game yet.
That's right.
Yeah, you're not even playing the game. You're commenting about people that are playing the game, but you're not even in the game yet.
Yes.
So Mr. X is saying, listen, I've got all of these ideas. I've got all of these entrepreneurial ideas. And you say to him, but first, it's great to have those ideas, but you got to get into the game. What does that mean literally for Mr. X?
Well, first of all, again, finding your passion and your purpose is like paramount to even taking a step. And then really finding out really what you love. Like I said, writing should be part of what Mr. X does. For sure. I mean, to ask a question with this beautiful, flowery, lovely language, it was entrancing just to even hear. So if writing is what he loves, well, what could he do in that? Could it be a book? Could it be a program? Could it be teaching writing? It could be so many different things. Just start taking a look. The fact that you've just read his question, how many people are listening today?
Yeah.
What if somebody calls
87,000, yeah.
87,000 people are listening right now. And the possibility of one person saying, well, wait a minute, that was really a wonderful question. What if we had a conversation about that? So really, keep putting yourself out there. Don't stop if you get stopped, because this is what happens. Is you put yourself out there, somebody puts you down, and you go, okay, see, I can't do it now. I can't do it now because somebody put me down.
So be a certain level of resilience.
Resilience, absolutely. And the better your questions, the better your life.
Are we asking the right questions in order for us to be effective entrepreneurs? Give me a call. Are you asking the right questions? Is the premise upon which you ask the questions for where you're going the right one? If we keep asking the question, how do I make money, as opposed to the question, how do I find me in this universe? Then obviously you're going to be getting the wrong answers because you're asking the wrong questions. I'm beginning to see how you get into your flow. You've got to ask the right questions in order for you to get to the right answers that'll bring you into your flow. Going to take a quick break. Murray's going to continue talking to us. Stanley's going to keep talking to us. But we're trying to find how we get into that wealth flow. When we come back.
Aubrey Masango on 702.
For the curious, streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Marie Ruzica from the United States is here with me. She is part of the Genius U platform. And she's talking about how we can get into our wealth flow. How we get into our flow, where the flow of wealth is coming at us as we give it to others. Pretty much like the soccer ball that is coming to Lionel Messi and how he passes it so that we can score the goal of, I suppose, the goals in our life. Yeah. Stanley Beckett is also here. We're talking about the flow. And what is coming at me, Stanley and Marie, is that we're asking the wrong questions. We're asking the question, how do I make an income instead of how do I make an impact? Because if you are just about the income, then you're chasing the ball. You're not passing the ball. Yeah. And then the flow doesn't happen. And I know that many people that are listening to this conversation who love the game of football understand what we're talking about, that the game starts to flow when the ball is moving, that we're not chasing the ball, but we're moving the ball by putting it into position until we hit the goal. You're busy. You've just written a book called
It's called You Are a Genius.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that and how it connects to this whole idea of finding your wealth flow.
You know, what happens as a part of Genius U, to be a part of the program, is you are automatically indoctrinated into a global community of entrepreneurs. So I have friends all around the world. So when someone heard my story about how I left corporate America and started traveling the world, she thought, oh my gosh, this is a really wonderful story. And she had worked with Lisa Nichols and Les Brown and T. Harv Eckert to put compilation books together. So she said, would you like to be one of the lead authors for this book? And over the year, we took a look at, like, who would we really want in this book? And there's 18 of the, they're part of the Genius U community, and it's truly their travels to being a genius. When I asked Roger, what do you think we should call this book? Like, without even a breath, he said, you are a genius. Because you're not just saying, we, the 18 authors, are a genius, but anybody who picks it up says, you are a genius. Because we're all born geniuses, but the process of life degeniuses us.
And it's geniuses.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah,
that's Buckminster Fuller. I really, Roger studied Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah,
and So this whole process of life degeniusing us is to really find, rediscovering us as a gene. We are all born this way. This is our natural birthright to be a genius in whatever we do. So the book came about because of that, and that's why I'm traveling the world, and it's just been a wonderful experience.
I'm interested, how do people find that book?
Well, is Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not in our bookstores at the moment, yeah?
On Amazon, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. So you need to, you are a genius.
You are a genius.
I think that what I'm picking up from this conversation, Stanley, is that we are asking the wrong questions. Mm-hmm. And the wrong questions are the questions that keep us chasing after money. We're asking the question that says, how do I make an income, instead of how do I make an impact? Because the answers that are derived from those questions are the questions that are going to put us in position, right? I'm interested to find out from you, Marie, how do I know that I've been in a cycle of wrong questions?
Okay, I got a good one for you. This is another Rogerism. There's three different types of questions. One is aspirational questions. And that really is really good to stay in those aspirational questions. Like, you know, what would it be like to be in this place? And, you know, the far out reaching aspirational questions. Then there are the exasperational questions. And those are the, why is this happening to me? And, you know, those kind of questions that no one can answer.
Yeah.
And it keeps you in the spiral.
Yeah.
When you're talking about asking the wrong questions, they're usually the exasperational questions.
Yeah.
The questions to really, really focus your attention on is directional questions. What could I do right now to feel better? What could I do right now to could I take the test? It's free. Could I make some?
But that would require me to understand that I'm not feeling good. So I would first have to be aware of the first that I'm not feeling good in order for me to ask the directional question that says, what can I do right now to feel good? But if I am still incarcerated by the idea that this is my reality, that I am not necessarily not feeling good, this is just my reality. How do I break out of that prison of thinking that, well, this is my reality? Because I think that a lot of people out there stay in that infrared situation because they've bought into the idea that that's their reality. How do we awaken in people's minds that you do not have to stay in the infrared position all your life? That's not what you were born to do.
Wallace
D. Wattles, I remember, says something about, it is your right to be wealthy,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
How do we get into that mindset? Because I think that that's a big part of the reason why we stay in that infrared place, Marie, that we actually believe that this is my lot in life. Yeah. And because it is my lot in life, I lash out at the world by blaming and cursing the world rather than asking those directional questions, because I understand that this is not where I should be. How do I get out of that rut, that maze, that prison?
Well, by the mere fact that you know that others have done it. If others have done it, then the logic is wrong to say I'm this is my reality.
Yeah.
So to really, if you are in a place that is, you are infrared, that money and month are not meeting, money and bills aren't meeting, and you get more in debt every single month, then really it is to take a real look at your life and say, is this like, if we're supposed to be geniuses, if it is our birthright to be wealthy, then there is something amiss. Like questions like, what would be amiss? You know, it's my mindset. If I see that Oprah can do it, if I see that Warren Buffett can do it.
Yeah, but this is Oprah, Marie. This is Oprah.
But,
eh?
You know, the thing is, we see Oprah as this, you know, high up on the lighthouse. But at some point, she, you know, when she was in her 20s, she said, for whatever year I am.
Life at a certain point.
Right. To take a look at her today, Of course. That's, again, jumping those spectrum levels, the wealth spectrum levels.
Yeah.
Instead, take a look at Oprah in her 20s. So that's a very different, she was making 20,000, you know, she said every year she would want to make what her year was in thousands of dollars. So she said at 22, she was making $22,000. So I'm sorry,
she must be very old right now.
Yeah. Right, hello, exactly.
0818-83-0702. Stanley, let me ask you this question as we wrap up. How do we get to a place where we understand that we are worthy of happiness? How do we get to a place where we understand that we are worthy of wealth? Because I think that all of the advice that we've been giving tonight, if the listener doesn't understand that I'm worthy, I'm worthy of being wealthy, I'm worthy of starting to ask those directional questions rather than those exasperational sort of questions, or just sticking to those aspirational questions. How do we get people to get to the point where they understand that, even you, my friend, in Deep Sloot, in Alex, are worthy of one day being referenced in the way that we reference Oprah? How do we get people to accept that and believe it?
Well, from my side, I mean, it's a much, much longer than a quick answer. But just in short, I don't believe for most people it's something you can do by yourself. I think you need the assistance of others. That is why we are fortunate to have forerunners like A. Roger James Hamilton that's teaching us these things. I really believe only through education and through reading the right material, through speaking to the right people, listening to the right shows and asking the right questions. I don't think you can do it on your own. I really think if you ever going to sit down and you never read another book, or you never go and learn more about yourself, or do these programs that are free online, you're never going to get to that place. So it really is something that you need to be willing to do with others.
Marie, how do people get in touch with you? How do they follow you? Is there a website, a Twitter page that they can follow?
Yes. My company is called The Magical Land of Awesome, and it's MAGICKAL. landofawesome.com.
Magical Land of Awesome. Yes. Well, it was an awesome conversation. Marie Rizica, thank you very much from Genius U. Really appreciate you coming through. Much appreciated.
Thank you.